I want to start with this. It's not a Bubba joke, but it's a good one. All right. Fred is 32 years old. And one day a friend asked, Fred, why aren't you married? Can't you find a woman that would be a good wife? And Fred said, actually, I found several women that I wanted to marry. And when I bring them home to meet my parents, my mother doesn't like them. And his friend looks at him for a moment and says, I've got the perfect solution. Just find a girl who is just like your mother. A few months later, they meet again, and his friend said, did you find the perfect girl? Did your mother like her? And with a frown on his face, Fred answered, yeah, I found the perfect girl. She was just like my mother, and you were right. My mother loved her. And the friend said, well, what's the problem? And Fred said, my father doesn't like her. That's terrible. I know. I'm going to give you ladies one here. All right, that was kind of a slight... here you go. A little girl asked her mom, how did the human race first appear? And her mom answered, well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so was all of mankind made. And 2 days later, the little girl asked her dad the same question, and her dad said, well, many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved. The little girl was confused. She went back to her mom and she said, how is it possible that you told me that humans came from being created by God? And dad said they came from monkeys. The mother said, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family. And your father told you about his. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. I told you I'd help you out. Okay. We have been in a series called the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to veer off of that a little bit today. I just really wanted to focus in on moms just for a little bit this morning. I want us to look at a story in the Bible, an account in the Bible that is about God's grace and a mother's love. This story is, if we recognize it for what it is so important for every one of us. That we recognize God working in our lives, but we also recognize what it means, what a mother's love looks like in action, all right? It's not a greeting card, all right? You go to the look for a greeting card today, fellas, it says Happy Mother's Day. You're out of luck. They're all gone, all right? It just doesn't exist. So we're talking about something more than just words. We're talking about something very, very deep. And so I want to read, this is not going to be on the screen yet. I just want to read it to you, and then you can look it up later as you'd like to. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out. Here's what she said. My husband who served you is dead. So this is a widow saying that her husband had passed away. He was obviously a good man. She said, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, and then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. It's this beautiful story, but it starts off with a tragedy. Now, every family is filled with tragedy. I used to think when I was really young that there were such things as perfect families and families that had their stuff together and families that didn't have big problems. And the older I get, I realize the idea of family is filled with problems. This lady had, her family was filled with despair. Her family was filled with death. Her family was filled with debt. And yet she remained devoted to God. She understood that all of these problems that had come her way were going to come, and she needed to stay devoted to God. And so she goes to the prophet because the prophet had known her husband, and it's deeper than that, but we'll look into that another day. They knew each other. They worked together as prophets. And she says, my husband has died. I have so much debt that the creditors are about to take my two sons into slavery. Now, that meant that those sons would have to work for somebody as long as there was debt. They would have to work that debt off. And so, this mother loved her two sons, and she didn't want them to be taken away from her, but she had this debt looming over her head. She goes to the prophet, and she basically tells him that story, and he then asks her some questions. After asking those questions, he gives her some direction about what she needs to do. Now, when we just look at what she's going through, we understand that these are some big-time problems. It's one thing to deal with problems personally. It's another thing to see the people you love dealing with problems. Most of us say, I would gladly take that sickness from my loved one. I would gladly die in their place. I would gladly do anything to relieve them of the pain they're going through. So we're carrying this pain. This mother was not just carrying this pain. She was carrying this pain alone. She was trying to feed her family, and she was trying to pay this debt that she had no ability to pay. She loved her family so much, and yet she was struggling on the inside. No doubt she was waking up every day and putting on a big front for those kids. No doubt every day she was waking up and she was eating less so they could eat more. That she was doing without so they could have enough. She was going through this cycle of despair, of debt, of death. All these problems were sort of running concurrently, and she needed to know what to do. And so I want to break this down a little bit. Let's learn a couple of things from this passage. 2 Kings 4 and 2. Let's take a look on the screen. I just read this to you. What can I do? Now, after she told the prophet what was going on and what the situation was, the prophet then asks her two questions. Don't you hate it when somebody starts asking you questions when you're trying to say, I need some help. And they're like, well, tell me about this. And tell me about this. You're like, shut up and just help, right? Elisha was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. Now, a prophet heard the voice of God and knew the words that people needed to hear because God had told them what they need to hear. So he's operating as a prophet, and he says, what can I do to help you? And then here we go. Tell me, what do you have in the house? He asked her these two questions. What can I do? But then he says, what do you have in your house? And it's almost like he says them so quickly that it's one big question. He's like, what can I help you with what's already in your house? It seems like what he's asking. This first question is, what do you need? Often, God will use trials, heartaches, and burdens in our life to bring us to the place that we can honestly see our weakness. Now, we don't like this stuff, all right? We don't like this. God will use the despair and the death and all the things around us to bring us to that point that we recognize our own weakness, that we are not enough. Think about it. As long as we think we can handle things, why should we look to God? As long as we can do this on our own, why would we ever give our lives over to God? So the prophet asked this question, and it's an important question. What can I do? He was saying, I want you to recognize that you need this help and that God's going to do something. Here's the second question. What do you have in your house? That's an odd question. She's coming to him as a mother who is saying, look, I have so little that they are about to take my kids into slavery. They're about to take my kids. And then the prophet says, all right, I need you to do an inventory. Go to the pantry and do an inventory. You ever walk around the grocery store and you're like, do we have coffee at home? Yeah, I think so. And you get home and there's no coffee and then it's a fight. That's never happened at our house. I'm just saying, I can imagine that happening in somebody's house, all right? The prophet said, I need you to take an inventory. What do you have in your house? What do I have in my house? What do I have that God can use? We're all dealing with problems here. There's despair and debt and death and all of us are dealing with this stuff. What do I have in my house? Take an inventory is what he's saying. What do I have that God can use? What has God already given me in the past that I can use now? God was giving me that thing so that I could use it later. What resource has God already blessed me with? What talents has God given me? Many times God will use resources he's already given us to answer our prayers. You know, we like it when God, we want to pray prayers like God just show up and drop $1 million in the bank. That'd be a good way to do this. Now, God can do that, all right, but that's not usually the way God operates. Usually God has already set us up with the resources, the ability, the talent, all the stuff we need ahead of time so that when the need arises, the despair, the debt, all that, when all that comes up, then we are able to move forward in it. The question is, what do I have in my house? So when we're dealing with our problems right now, I want us just to take a second. What is it that God has already placed in my house, in your house, that can help us with the current set of needs, challenges, problems we're facing right now? What is it that God has already given us? Is God just allowing us to struggle through this so we can recognize that he's already provided, that he's already given us the right set of friends, that he's already given us the right church, that he's already given us the right job, he already gave us that set of talents, he's already given us a strong back, he's already given us something in our house that we can use? Now understand, this little lady would have been very happy if the prophet would have said, here's a pile of cash, let me fix that for you. That's not what happened. He said, what do you have in your house? He was setting up her up for a blessing. He was teaching her to trust God like never before. Next verse says this, 2 Kings 4:3-4. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from the flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she said, I've got a little bit of oil in there. I just got a little bit. I bet she wanted to repeat it. Like, did you hear me? I was like, I know how much oil is in there. I've been trying to make biscuits with that little bit of oil for days. He says to her, I want you to go around the neighborhood, all your friends and neighbors, and I want you to borrow as many empty jars as you can. And then I want you to bring them back. Now, God will use difficult circumstances to stretch us, to build our faith. We forget that God is more concerned with our character than he is our comfort. God is not always concerned about us being comfortable. That's a hard one too. God is not always concerned about our comfort. He's building character in us. He wants to build faith. The only way to build muscle is to use it. You know, you can watch Netflix and go, God, please give me big muscles. It's not going to happen. You're like, but God, you can work miracles. And he's like, yeah, but I already gave you a plan. You already have something in your house. It's little muscles. And you're going to have to use those little muscles to get big muscles, all right? So he's trying to stretch our faith. The Bible says this. He's given every one of us a measure of faith. He's already given us some faith. Then what happens is the despair, the debt, the death, it all gets piled on our faith, and we can't even remember where we left our faith last time. We can't even remember what it is God was trying to do the last time. The only way to build faith is to use it. So the widow was told to go to her friends and neighbors and borrow vessels. God was requiring her, this mother that loved her children so much, He was requiring her to expand her faith publicly. He was requiring that she use her faith outside of her house. This was a lady who was already in debt. Her sons were already going to have to work this debt off. And now she's supposed to go ask people, can I borrow some pots and pans? Now they knew her. They knew she was in debt. They knew what was going on. And now she's saying, not only have I borrowed, has my family borrowed money that we can't pay back, now I'm going to borrow more. She was having to put herself out there in faith. What did she say to them when she walked to their house and said, can I borrow some vessels? I can imagine her saying, that crazy prophet told me that I need to ask you. But that's probably not what she did. She was so desperate for a move of God in her family that she was willing to put her faith out there for everybody to see. She was willing to trust God publicly. She goes and she asks for those things. The Bible says that her friends and family gave her those pots, let her borrow those pots. She takes them, her and her sons, they take them back to their house. So they've had to use their faith publicly, and now something important happens. God starts to expand her faith privately. The prophet now says, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. You know what he was saying? God's about to do something that you, intimate, that you need to be a part of. You need to see this. Pour olive oil from your flask, the one that was in your house, the thing that you already had. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled. So her and her sons gather around, and they start pouring the oil. And every time, a new jar is filled up. She has to be looking at it like, I thought there was only a pint in here. And it's filling up gallons, and it's filling up quarts, and everything is getting filled up out of this one little jar. And I can imagine her faith starting to grow as she realized, if God can do this, if God can fill all these pots with this, what else can he do? There in the privacy of their home, they learned that God was all-powerful and able to meet every need. They learned that God would do things, great things. Their neighbors would hear the story later, and the neighbors would register intellectually. They would go, when the little lady said, but we didn't have any, and then we just went in there and we started pouring it, and we filled all of them up. They would hear it, and they would get it intellectually, but her family, this little lady, this widow, this mother, her family was going to get this idea of faith like nobody else, because they were the ones holding the pots and pouring it out of the flask. They were the ones seeing the miracle at work. And it's one thing to trust God when you see him work in somebody else's life. It's a whole different experience when you see God work in your life. When you see God answer a prayer in your life that you don't feel worthy of, that you didn't know if it was going to happen, and God showed up, and God did something great. What an example to these two little boys that they could trust God moving forward. God started it publicly, and then he gave them this blessing privately. Here's 2 Kings 4, 5, and 6. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. You ever tell your child to bring you a glass or a bowl or a plate, and you're like, be careful. And then everything in the room is borrowed except this one flask. And she says, bring me another one. And she pours it out, and they have to be amazed. And she fills it up and sets it aside. Then she says, bring me another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Imagine this. She didn't go, you know, I think I'll just fill this one halfway. You know, when you're at the restaurant and you say to the waiter or the waitress, just half full, just give me half a glass. You know, you're at the end of the meal. She was not saying that. She was not saying, just fill it halfway. She was like, keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming. The Bible says she filled it all the way to the brim. It was to the point that when she starts walking out, she's got to be careful not to spill it. She was getting everything that God had for her because she knew what would happen if she didn't. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more." Can you imagine that? "We don't have any more jars, Mom. They're full." And the olive oil stopped flowing. There's this idea that God is going to give you way more than you need, and God seldom does that. God will give you what you need in the moment that he can trust you with. I wish God would just, you know, give us all $1 million this morning, and we'd all lose our minds and quit coming to church for a few weeks until we spend it all. And then we'd be back up here going, "God," and he'd be like, "What's in your house? What's in your house?" God gives you what you need, what he can trust you with. In the moment, the olive oil stopped flowing. God can do anything. He could have put money under this widow's pillow, but he didn't. He told her to do something, and to her credit, she acted in faith. Action was required, and she stepped out. The Bible says it like this: faith without works is dead. Praying and doing nothing will not work, is what the Bible says. I've got to do my part. When we find difficult situations in our life, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to put it all on God? Or are we going to say, "Lord, what have you already given me? What is it that I can do? What is it that you want me to do? What action is required in this?" And then start following him. It doesn't mean he's going to leave it all to you. No, no, no. Action was required, but the oil was being poured out miraculously. It was miraculously multiplying every step of the way. It's not us saying, "I got this, God." It's saying, "Lord, I just want to do my part so that you can do what you need to do." 2 Kings 4:7 says, "When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, 'Now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over.'" She had so much oil in her house. She started off that day with a flask with a little bit of oil. The end of the day, she had so much oil, all of her debts were paid, and he said, "Now you can pay the debt and live on the rest. I'm going to provide everything you need moving forward." What is it that you need God to do this morning? What is it that I need God to do this morning? And the first question is, "Lord, what do I have in my house? What do I have in my house? What have you blessed me with that can make a difference in this situation? I still want you to show up miraculously, God, but I'm going to have to trust you on this one. I'm going to have to trust you. I want to obey, but I still need you to show up." Some of us operate like this. I'm going to close with this. Like the guy that I heard about that was fishing for trout. There was two guys actually that went to a lake and they were fishing for trout and they stayed all day. And one man had a strange habit. Every time he would catch a trout, he would pull out a little ruler and he would measure it. And if the trout measured larger than the ruler, he would throw it back. Strangely enough, he kept all the little trout that he caught, but he threw back all the big ones. And his partner finally just got enough of it. And he said, "What in the world are you doing? You're throwing all the big ones back. I can't stand it any longer. Tell me why you're doing this." He said, "You've kept all the little ones and you're throwing back all the big ones." The man said, "I sure did." And he said, "Well, why did you do it?" He said, "Because I only have an 8-inch frying pan." How many of us are living our life like that? That small-minded thinking that says, I'll just suffer through. And God is saying, "I have given you stuff in your house. I have provided for you. You got to do your part. Don't be throwing back all the big blessings and saying, 'Well, the little ones are for me. I'm just going to suffer for Jesus.'" Garbage. Jesus suffered for you. He's already paid the debt. We trust him for the help to obey him, and then we trust him for the things that we can't do on our own. What is it that's going on in your life right now? What is it that God wants to help us with? I want you to stand with me if you will. I want us to continue praying. God, show up in a big way. God, we want the miraculous power of God working in our lives. God, we want you to get the glory for this. But I want us to start with this question today. What do I have in my house? What do I have in my house? If I'm struggling financially and God has given me a skill to do something that people will pay me to do, it could be that that's the thing in my house. That's my flask of oil. What is the thing that God is calling us to do? To use. I have a friend that used to say it this way. He said, I didn't pray for God to just answer, to just give me everything I wanted. He said, I always prayed it this way. God, give me an idea and I'll do it. Just give me the idea. I'll work. I'll do whatever. Just show me the thing so that I can know the path. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. Wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. If we put God first, he'll guide our steps. He'll bless us along the way. So what is it that God has already placed in your house? What is it that God's already placed in my house that he wants to use? The old preacher once said, you will never outgive God. He's given stuff to us when we don't even recognize it as gifts. He is blessing us when we don't even recognize it as blessings. He's getting us ready. He's preparing us for the next battle. He did not let this struggle, this death and despair and debt on this little mother, did not sneak up on God. God knew it all along, and God had already prepared it. God had already given her what she needed. Whatever struggle that you're going through right now, it did not sneak up on God. It probably sneaked up on you. Sneaked up on me. It did not sneak up on God. What is it right now? What is it? I want us to pray for that right now. God, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your love. And Lord, we know that you still work miracles. We know that you still answer. We know, God, that you can still do those things that amaze us. But we also know, Lord, that you're calling us to do some things. Your grace is real, and you want to help us in this process. You want to help us to grow, Lord. You want us to find help for that addiction. You've placed people in our house, in our lives already that can help us to defeat that addiction. All we have to do is go ask for the help. All we have to do is move forward in it. God, whatever it is, if it's financial, whatever, God, that we're struggling with, the despair, the debt, the death, we know, Lord, that you have a plan and you want to help us and you want to guide us. And we pray, Lord, that moving forward, we would take inventory and then we would trust you. We would trust you every single step of the way. That faith would be in operation, Lord, in public and in private. And God, we would let you do what it is you want to do. And we thank you, Lord, for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I want to say this to somebody. I wasn't going to say this, but I am not a prophet, okay? I'm not Elisha, but I do want to say this. I believe that something is happening right now in somebody's life where you've been in that holding pattern, you've been stuck for so long, and God is going to turn the light on this week, and you're going to go, ah, that's what I was missing. That's what it was. That's why God gave me that so long ago. That's how he wants to use it. I believe that's going to happen in somebody's life this week right now. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And we receive your help in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give one more hand clap to all of our moms? Yeah. Yes. Amen. All right, Mom, you do not have to do the dishes today. You can do them tomorrow. I'm just teasing. We got you today, Mom. Let's treat moms good today. Father, thank you for everybody who's in the building. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we pray, God, that we'd honor you this week and put you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.